On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WEBR Fairfax Radio, welcome to On the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on the Commons today is my friend Jan Bergman from Florida. Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice. He's been doing an incredible job down there. And he's also one of a handful of actual homeowners on the task force, a governor's appointed task force. Right, Jan?
Yes, it is.
How are you? Thank you so much for joining us here.
Hey, always fun to be with you, like talking to you, and like to be on the Commons.
Well, I always enjoy having you on the Commons with us because you do such a dramatic, incredible job here.
Well, we're trying the best we can, and since for years homeowners have been treated as the stepchildren of our legislators, it's time that we wake them up. So let's try and do it. And where we have achieved a certain success by having the governor creating a homeowners association task force, it is not what we had in mind when we filed our task force bill, which failed last year on the last day of the session, but not because of the bill, but because of other political reasons here in Florida. And but anyway, we got a task force, but out of 15 members, we have 12 industry members, and actually three consumer advocates only.
15 members on the task force.
Yes. And 12 of them are industry members. 7 of them actually are attorneys.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, there's no... That's a well-balanced task force, right?
Well, you know, I mean, attorneys are not necessarily known to create peace and quiet because it doesn't create business for them. So the idea of the governor to create a task force to improve the harmony in homeowners association, as he worded it, I don't know if the right people were chosen to do so. But the three homeowners on the task force are doing their best, and we seem to get somewhere because it's a good public relation platform. And we succeeded as well to put on the next task force meeting's agenda two very, very important issues, important for us and important for consumers and homeowners. One of them is the foreclosure issue, and one of them is the creation of a government agency with enforcement power.
Can we, before we get into all of that, now you've been working for a couple of years to try and put together some kind of, a hearing panel. But you've actually got two of them going on in Florida right now, correct?
Yes, it is correct. We have the Homeowners Association Task Force, which was created by the governor, and we have the House Select Committee on Condominium Governance, which was created by House Speaker Johnny Byrd.
Okay, so wait a minute. So you've got one that's actually looking at homeowner associations and one that's only dealing with condominiums?
Yes.
Oh. So it's not an all-encompassing everything out there?
No, it is not yet, but we are in contact with the committee from the House side, the condo committee, and what we will do is we will try to create a concept which will combine all mandated properties, which are here in Florida regulated by the Florida Statute 718, which is the Condo Act, up to 723, which includes then condos, homeowners associations, co-ops, timeshares, and so on, which are estimated more than 5 million units here in Florida at the moment, and it is assumed until 2010 it will even double.
Wow. 2010?
So we're talking a lot of people directly touched by the outcome of these task force and committees.
Wait a minute. You're talking about 6 years. You're expecting to add another 5 million units?
Yes, that's what they assume,
whoa.
Yes.
That's incredible, Jan.
Well, the growth in Florida is huge. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. When I came here to Florida in 1995, you could find lots here in St. Augustine all over the place. You didn't even have to look. You drove down the road, and there was a for sale sign, and there was a for sale sign. Now, you can still get some lots out in the swamp on the other side of the I-95, or you pay $500,000 for a prime lot, and that's it. Florida is growing immensely.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to add 5 million units, doubling the existing one in 4 years, Jan, that's almost a million units a year.
That's in 6 years, 2010. And yes, that's what the estimate.
Almost a million units a year.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
There is one unit here, or development close by. They estimate 22,000 homes built in 5 years.
Whoa. That's unbelievable.
That's Florida.
But the thing
is, what they lure the people down here. You know, Florida is they're called 7-7 for retirees, but it's not anymore because they forgot to protect these people. They're luring down here. These people have fixed incomes. Some of them have problems in the end to pay for their prescription drugs. But they're left alone against the powerful association and their attorneys, and they are only there to make money, not to protect consumers or help them create a nice environment.
So you're saying that basically, if I understand what you're saying, is that the problems are just going to increase?
There is not only increase, they will
double,
grow immensely if nothing is being done.
Okay, let's go back to the task force. You're on the task force, and you're dealing with HOA issues, right?
Yes.
And how many hearings have you had? What are you doing? You're having hearings?
Yes, we're having hearings, or meetings, whatever you would like to call them.
Okay.
There is public input. We started in Tallahassee and had a meeting in Tallahassee. Then we went to Miami. We went to Orlando, and we went to Tampa, and the next one is on my home turf here in St. Augustine on next Friday.
So you've actually been doing some traveling around the state.
Yes.
And you've been listening to a lot of these from the homeowners.
Oh, yes, we sure did. And we actually got more input and public speakers than anticipated. And so, actually, we're a little bit behind in the schedule because it took so much time to listen to all these public speakers who actually 99% of them didn't have any good to say about homeowners associations, as you can imagine.
And so you didn't hear from the silent majority that the industry would like you to believe is out there, huh?
Well,
the ones that are very happy.
during the last meeting, there were 24 public speakers,
uh-huh.
And actually, not one of them was happy with the status quo.
Ah,
you know, so we kind of missed the person who was speaking in favor.
Oh, so the silent majority did not show up.
No, the silent majority, like always, it's
silent.
Is mostly there in the imagination of certain people.
Okay. These hearings, what are you doing with them? I mean, are you getting, I think, horror stories, right, from people coming in?
Yes, I mean, and the worst one was last month in Tampa, the story of the homeowners association called Nature Watch, where mostly 120 people will lose their home to foreclosures, not because they didn't pay their dues or not because they didn't pay anything else, just because they live in the wrong association, where a judge decided that all the other homeowners have to pay for the repair of a few homes, which were left with construction defects by a bankrupt developer.
You did talk about Nature Watch the last time you were here.
Yes.
So can we give people just the two-minute version of what these people are dealing with?
These people are actually dealing with a judgment from a lower court judge telling them that they have to pay for the repairs of homes which are not theirs, which are deeded private homes of other neighbors, which the judge felt the association is irresponsible to pay for, despite the fact that all the homeowners had homeowners insurance coverage.
Private individual homeowners,
yes.
Private, okay.
And the estimate will be that every one of them will have to pay in the end $96,000, an amount which is more or less unlikely to be raised by anybody.
So it's going to cost $96,000 in,
yes,
120, out of how many homes roughly?
Well, there are 100 and, I think, 170 or 180 homes.
So two-thirds of...
Some of them can pay and will pay. Some of them paid because they got the money. And some of them paid because they got the money from their insurance policies. But about 120 homeowners so far, or 120 families, will be left homeless when this is all said and done, if the appeals court doesn't come up with a different judgment.
Okay, Jan, you're talking about 180... units, and two-thirds of these are going to be left homeless?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, yes.
And what about protecting property values?
They don't care about protecting property values.
But aren't people told that you buy in an association because it's going to protect your property values?
Well, you know, it's always nice to hear. You know, slogans are very famous in American advertising, but this is another one which totally fails the people, because it's not true. And property values are not protected by associations. They're protected by location, by the way people take care of their property, and so on. A homeowners association has very little influence on the actual property value of your home.
Oh, I disagree with you, Jan. I think that the people in Nature Watch, the association, has had a lot of influence on their property values.
Yeah, but... in the negative side.
Okay.
I was talking about the positive
You're
side.
You're talking about enhancing.
Which I always hear during the task force meetings from certain people who are telling me, oh, yeah, you remember all the property values you gain through being part of an association, and we have to protect it. Well, this is not so, obviously not. I can tell you a lot of cases where actually property values went seriously down because of actions the associations took.
Yeah. There have been a number of instances. Nature Watch is one of them. There was one out in California a few years ago where property values just took a nosedive because of the association. So I just wanted to, you know, it was too perfect an opening, Jan. I'm sorry. I just had to get that in there.
Well, I understand, and you know that it's exactly what I'm saying all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying all the time. So you've got two more hearings?
Yes.
And then what do you expect to happen?
Well, then what we expect is, well, let's see. As I told you, the way the task force is set up, the chances that we get a lot of homeowner-friendly bills out of it is more or less unlikely, but it sure gained the interest of a lot of legislators to listen to it. We had legislators at the task force meeting. We had legislators' assistants of these legislators attending the task force meeting and listening to it. And I personally and our organization has been contacted by legislators asking for what can we do to change this. So we go by the book, we wait for the task force to come up with the final report, we see what we're getting out of there, and otherwise we most likely will have to go the direct way, going directly to legislators who are willing to file the bills we intend to see filed for the next legislative session.
So basically you're looking at some kind of legislative assistance or a fix?
Yes.
For the problems?
Yes. There is no, in my opinion, no other solution for it. Homeowners don't have the financial means to fix these problems by themselves. And without the help of the government, which actually created these associations, if you create them, you better see to it that they work. And, I mean, they have created all kinds of fancy-looking statutes, but nobody enforces them, and homeowners just can't. We just don't have the finances.
So why are we putting people in this position?
Well, because I think the government considered it's a good way to make some more money. Because don't forget, if you live in a homeowners association, you're being double taxed.
Well, in Florida, in some cases, you're actually being triple taxed.
Yes, if you live in a community development district.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you're being promised all kinds of nonsense, which isn't true. It's not materializing. And yet, we continue to build these things, Jan. Why?
Well, let's do it that way. Why is the industry is very interested, and so is the government. See, the government gets the property tax from you, whether you live in a homeowners association or you don't. So, but if you live in a homeowners association, you pay dues to the homeowners association, which then, in return, pays from your assessment, the road maintenance, street lights, and all the other goodies. Normally, your city or town or whatever you live in would have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the property tax, and actually, the county delivers very little for the property tax you pay. But then you pay, on the other hand, against your assessments, your monthly or yearly assessments, depending on the community you live in, and that will pay for things people who don't live in an association don't have to pay for, and the county has to pay for it. So more or less you're paying double. And if you live in a community development district, you as well pay for the bonds which created your district in the first place.
That's a whole different show. We've covered CDDs on this show a couple of times. And for all of our new members, listeners who are listening in, a CDD is a taxing district that is somewhat unique to Florida. And it makes a tremendous amount of money for the developer. It's another layer of government. It's another layer of taxation. And the homeowners keep shelling it out.
Yes, but don't forget, that actually is the pure statement of taxation without representation.
Yes.
Because in the community development district, the developer is running the show, is doing everything there is, and the homeowner has no say whatsoever.
Yes.
We have here examples you wouldn't believe. It's amazing, but I think that should be discussed on a totally different show.
I agree with you, and you'll come back and do that one day, right?
Well, I may give you our committee chairman for community development district, who lives in the villages and who knows a lot more about it than I ever will.
We'll do it. And you know, because you guys out there need to know what's happening, because this concept may come to a neighborhood near you one day, and you need to know what you're getting into. Because again, these are sold as very pretty little packages, and really they're not. Once you take the pretty paper and the ribbons off there, it's kind of a nasty present for you. Let's go back, Ian, to the task force. You've got some issues that you want the legislature to consider.
Yes, and I definitely the main issue on our future ideas is to create a government agency or an ombudsman's office or something which will be responsible for all mandated properties, like I told you, condos, homeowners association, co-ops, timeshares, all together.
Okay.
Because we need that, because all the fancy bills and any bill that will pass in the future through the legislature is useless for consumer protection, because we can't enforce it in court. We don't have the finances, we don't have the money, and we don't have the attorneys, because a certain type of attorneys is cornering the market and has a reputation that other attorneys don't even want to touch it.
And but there's some other things that you also want to do. Yeah, we'll talk about the ombudsman and the need for some adult supervision. And basically what you're saying is you want to have somebody in charge of enforcing state law, because the legislature will not appoint anyone to do so. So this is going to be yet another cost to the individual homeowners, just to enforce the laws. And I have some serious problems with that, but we're not going to get into that right now. One of the issues that you want to deal with is you want to put a stop to foreclosures.
Definitely, yes. And especially foreclosures, because the actual problem with foreclosure is the legislators have given the attorneys and certain power-hungry board members a weapon which is for homeowners deadly. And it is being abused on a daily basis. You see home foreclosures for as little as $5 and $100 in back dues, and they're abusing it as well to push fines through, which they normally shouldn't, but they do it anyway, and nobody is stopping them. And this is exactly like it is with a little kid. If you give a kid a toy and you realize it can't use it and it's abusing it, you'd have to take the toy away. And in this case, I'm sorry to say, there are certain attorneys who can't deal with the power given to them. So we have to see that it's taken away from them.
Are you saying it's the attorneys who are foreclosing?
Oh, yeah, sure. They are very much in favor of the foreclosure, because who makes the money out of it? See, their claim always is, oh, you know, associations go broke if you don't have the foreclosure power, and all these nice stories you hear on a permanent basis. This is not so. If you fall behind $200 with the association dues, and the attorney gets hold of the case, he will most likely make $2,000 to $2,500 in legal fees, and the association will still get only the $200 plus maybe $10 or $20 in late fees, as recorded in the deed restriction. And there are associations which don't have foreclosure powers because of the deed restriction as filed, and I haven't heard anyone of them going bankrupt.
Oh, wait a minute. So is foreclosure a statutory power in Florida, or is it in the deed restriction?
It has to be in the deed restriction in a way. But they don't tell anybody. So don't forget, most people, when they buy a home, they don't get some legal education before buying a home. They want a home for their families to live in peace. They don't want to buy a share in association politics. They don't want to buy a share in the office of the association attorney. They want nothing else but to live in peace and harmony. And this is the problem a lot of us are facing because this is not the case.
Yeah, I like that, a share in the association attorney's business. But you don't really own anything like that. They've got a share in your wallet, right?
Well, they have more than a finger in the wallet. They have a whole hand in your wallet.
Oh, I don't know. There's a foot in my pocket here.
Oh, foot as well. Hey, okay, I agree with that. I just go along. That's fine with me, sure.
There's a foot here. I can feel it.
What? I always say, you know, if you hire an attorney to go after your neighbors, all you do is buying the association attorney a new Mercedes. Maybe your playground could use some new equipment. It would be much better to use it for that purpose.
You know, we hear that associations are businesses. I mean, some people just get very, very irate when you call them governments. Businesses sort of plan for not being able to collect certain bills. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's part of doing business, right?
Well,
you plan for it.
And you know, there are many, many different good ways to collect unpaid dues.
Oh, absolutely.
You can go to court.
Absolutely, you can.
The only reason is the attorneys will not like it, because no judge in his right mind will give an attorney $2,200 in attorney's fees for $200 in unpaid dues.
What's the average? Do you have any idea what the average delinquent amount is?
Between $2,000 and $2,500 is normally the legal fees the attorneys here charge.
Okay, that's the legal fees. But how much, what's the average nationwide for a homeowner to actually be delinquent? How much do I have to owe my association?
I told you, there are cases where people owed $5.
Yeah, no, I realize that. And sometimes it's not even a legitimate delinquency. Sometimes it's a fee that's tacked on.
Well, sometimes it is because you spoke up during a board meeting and complained about the way the board was doing business.
Okay.
It is being used to shut you up.
Okay, so they're coming up with fines. They're coming up with late fees. They're coming up with bogus charges. They're calling them delinquencies. They're turning them over for collection. And before you know it, a $20 fine or a $20 late fee has burgeoned into a $2,500 legal fiasco. And
yes,
they're going to foreclose, and they're going to sell the house. Where exactly?
Oh, they do, and they have no quarrels doing it. And funny enough, when you look into it, it's always the same attorneys doing it. I can nearly tell you when you tell me the area and tell me it's the homeowners association, and this is the way it was done. I nearly can pinpoint the name of the attorney.
And who's buying them, Jan?
Investors.
Is it the same people?
Who are well informed. Why? You know, it's hard to prove a connection.
Is it the same people who are buying them? Because there's been rumors, and there've been allegations, really, that it's usually the same people buying. And it always surprises me that, you know, when you get a $25 fine plus $2,500 in legal fees and costs tacked on to it, that the house is generally sold for $2,500, which is what they claim, the association claims you owe, and there are no other bidders out there, Jan. How does that work?
Well, you know how it works is, in one case, it was the brother of the attorney who snapped up the foreclosure sales, and you know, it's not that the attorneys themselves bid on the foreclosure sales, but they have people they work with, and it's pretty obvious what's going on. But you know, between seeing what's going on and being able to prove it in the court of law, there is a huge difference.
But Jan, the house is going on the auction block. It's worth $150,000. Somebody's bidding $2,500 and getting it. Why wouldn't I bid $100,000, which is still a very good deal since the house is worth $150,000?
Because
but that's not happening.
because often people don't know about these sales. You know, these sales are published in little tiny papers nobody reads, and it's an informed clique of people who knows what's going on and what's coming up. And you know, sometimes when you look into the cases, you get the feeling that certain people are being targeted, meaning especially old people who have a lot of equity in the house. You know, there's not a big mortgage anymore. And when people own the house for 20 years, you know that the mortgage is pretty much paid up. And in the meanwhile, the value of the home has gone up and up and up and up here in Florida. And so these are the people you can target for a nice foreclosure. You find them for uncut bushes or for any kind of things. Hey, they are very imaginative and inventive, and here you go. And that is what has to be stopped.
And so when you find them for an uncut bush and you foreclose on them, it's not that they're freeloaders, and it's not that their neighbors are having to support them and cover their costs of living in this wonderful association, because, hey, it doesn't cost me anything to have someone not cut their bushes, right?
No, and especially, you know, in my opinion, what you just said is just the excuse used to cover up the bad deeds.
That's just, we're talking to Jan Bergman, president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida, and one of three homeowner appointees to a gubernatorial task force investigating the shenanigans in Florida's homeowners associations. We will be right back. Please stay tuned. Don't go away.
I bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WEBR, Fairfax Radio, I'm Sue Bartholomew. And you're on the Commons, and on the Commons today with us is Jan Bergman. Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. He's also a gubernatorial appointee to the newly formed HOA task force that's looking into some of the abuses in homeowner associations. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been very, very busy lately. So I appreciate the fact that you've taken an hour out of your Saturday to be with us and help us understand what's going on here somehow. But you're still there. You're still with us.
Yeah, I'm still listening.
You're still listening. We had sort of, you had sent me a pretty extensive outline of some of the things that we could discuss. And you said that you were going through, you know, that you had three agenda items that you were going to be pushing through, hopefully, as a result of what's being discussed on the task force. One of them is to prevent foreclosures. And we kind of talked a little bit about foreclosures. We also talked a little bit at the beginning about a government agency to enforce the statutes. And then the third one you wanted to talk about was protect vested rights. And that's something that we really haven't given a whole lot of time to on the Commons. So I thought maybe if we do that and then come back to the Ombudsman, if that's all right with you?
That's fine with me.
And what do you mean by protecting vested rights?
Well, I think vested rights are the rights that if I buy a property, that I can still use it in as many years for the same purpose as in the moment when I bought it. And this is example, the best example were condominiums, where they suddenly changed the right that you can rent your condo. Boards and sometimes dubious election processes suddenly come up with a change of the deed restrictions and forbid people to rent their units. And we have investors here who bought units to rent them. You know, we are here for vacation area. And suddenly these people who bought investment are being told, sorry, you can't use the property for what you bought it when you, or what you intended to buy it for.
So you've either got to sell it or you're going to move, right?
Yeah, well, they clearly tell them, sell it, we don't want you here. You know, there are other cases, and I mean, there are always kind of cases which you can really actually only laugh if it wouldn't be so sad. We have a case, you know, here in Florida you have the problem with so-called, I call them golf curses, not golf courses.
Golf curses, huh?
Yeah, because, see, developers lure people into association with the promise of, hey, you get a great golf course with it. But what they don't tell them is that these homeowners are responsible for the maintenance and the cost of these golf courses. They promise them, oh, they're self-maintaining, and, you know, they may even make more money than you have to put into. And you know all the kind of stories you get when you buy something.
Yeah.
The only problem is, there are, in the meanwhile, much too much golf courses here in Florida. They're going bankrupt one a week. And the problem that these associations more or less own them, so the homes of these people are collateral for the maintaining of the golf courses.
So basically, if you buy into an association, now remember, we're told that the association is going to protect your property values. And one of the property, one of the enhancements to your property value is this golf course that's over here, right? And because it's you know, you can look out, you can see it, you can use it, it's in the vicinity, and that's supposed to increase property values, right?
Yes, it's supposed to, but it actually decreases property values.
And so then that has the financial well-being of the golf course is then a burden on individual private property, right?
Oh, yes, because, see, in the first few years, the developer is still developing the community, is selling his home, so it's one of his sales gimmicks, the golf course. Look at this nice golf course. Look what you get here. Not only when you buy here, it's not only a home. You get this golf course, you get this swimming pool, and you get all these things. What they forget to tell you is the fact that it had cost money to maintain all that. And in the first few years, the developer puts money up, you know, to cover up that there's a deficit. Because he uses it as a sales gimmick, he can write it off with the taxes and all kinds of stuff. So until one day, he gives the homeowners the association and says, here you are, this is all yours, and now it's your responsibility. And suddenly the homeowners find out that the yearly maintenance for the golf course is $1.5 million. Now you have 800 homes there, as an example. Now figure that out. You know,
so that's an additional fee that the homeowners have to pay whether or not they play golf, right?
You know, right, and you know, in the beginning, years ago, homeowners were always told, oh, you can become a member of the golf club or you don't have to. So it's a voluntary deal. They set up, you know, country clubs within the association. Now, these country clubs are going broke one by one by one. And now they're looking for new sources of income. So what they're doing is they're changing from voluntary to mandatory. And we had a case in Boynton Beach where an 80-year-old lady, a widow, sitting in a wheelchair, got a letter that the board decided that she has to become a member of the golf club, paying an initial fee of $40,000 and an annual fee of $6,500, for something she will never be able to use.
But that's so, protecting her property values, right?
Oh, yes. Well, great for property values because people can't even sell their property anymore if that happens. I have one lady, she's a younger lady, she said, it was my first home I ever bought. Now I can't even sell it anymore because if I tell the buyer that he has to become a member of the golf club for the amount of $40,000, and that's the going rate here in the moment, they're not buying my home anymore.
Jeez. You know, they had the same thing happen in a trailer park or mobile home park in California.
Yeah,
in the
I
desert.
Know that case.
And but this is going back a number of years, Jan. I remember talking to some industry people, and I said, you know, they said, oh, Shu, you're just failing to see the joys of community association living because you see you have all of these amenities. And my answer was, look, you can still have these amenities. You don't have to have them burden individual property rights. And I said, you want to privatize them? I said, I don't have a problem with it. Let pools or us buy the pools and charge admission fees. And people who want to join the pool can. What I was told then was that these amenities would never survive financially, which is why they are being attached to private homes. Now, what you're telling me is exactly what this person told me years and years ago, that these things would not make it financially. Yet we're adding it to the people to your home, Jan.
What everybody fails to tell these homeowners is that their homes will be the collateral for maintaining all this.
And that it's going to keep costing you. It's a bottomless pit.
People don't have that money. And, you know, when you come here and you're 65 and you retire to Florida, everything is all honky-dory and everybody is happy and you can still swing your golf club and walk on the golf course and drive your golf cart. But you're getting older and you're getting older. And there will be the day, finally, where you may not be able to do it anymore. So why should you pay the high expense of being a member of the golf club if you can't use it anymore? And if you don't pay, here goes your home to foreclosure.
It's just an absolute, the whole concept is an absolute mess. And I think we're spending so much time trying to tweak it and make it work. And this is what we should be looking at is can this work? Do we want it to work? Or maybe we should scrap the whole thing and come up with a different plan if there is a problem. Because associations initially were supposed to be the answer to a problem and they were supposed to be a solution. They've just way outgrown any possible usefulness they have, I think.
Well, see, if it's such a great business as developers always claim they are when you hear their salespeople, why don't they run the golf course, keep the golf course, and don't make the homes collateral for the golf course?
Or sell them to an entrepreneur. I mean, if somebody wants to be in the golf course business, buy the golf course.
Yeah, but you know, you have a hard time finding buyers. There was a case in Central Florida where, as well, a golf and country club went bankrupt. You know, the whole asset they had was a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to sell it, you know, to companies and private companies and so
That's
on.
That's right.
Okay, didn't work. Nobody wanted to buy it.
That's right.
They finally went to the county and said, look, you don't have a county golf course. You know, maybe if you buy it and make a county golf course, you know, you have something to offer for the people here. So the county looked in it and said, after 8 weeks of consideration, thank you, would you please keep your own golf course? We really don't want it. These people are sitting on a bankrupt golf course. Nobody wants.
Yeah.
Nobody is interested in.
Yeah.
And the debts are piling up.
That's right.
But nobody told them before what will happen.
So we'll foreclose on some homes in the area to pay for it. And then we'll say, you see, these are recalcitrant homeowners. These are freeholders.
Up go your property values.
We're protecting your property values. Along the same lines, you know, vested rights, I found an article on your website, and this may be a good time to give out your web address, Jan. How can people find you?
Well, our web address is www.ccfj, like Cyber Citizens for Justice, .net.
Okay. And it's a great website, folks.
We have a lot of information posted and a lot of articles, a lot of discussions, a lot of papers and documents, and it's interesting if you are interested. It's interesting to look at it, and you can learn a lot from it.
You can learn a lot. One of the articles that I pulled down, and I think that kind of fits right into what we're talking about. You buy a house, you're told it's a community, and one of the things that we're trying to do is to foster a sense of community, and Florida's got a lot of retirees, and you have an 89-year-old gentleman who's a widower and who apparently is pretty popular because some of the neighbors come and visit him, and now he's being fined for having people socialize in front of his house, right?
Yes, that is actually the truth, and the waves of emotion are riding very high, and since they didn't care, the board of this condominium has now decided to double the fine.
Yeah, he was called in front of their little kangaroo court and said
yes.
He did not intend to pay it. But the thing is that, from what I understand, this is not something that the homeowners themselves voted on. This is something that the board came up with and said that the homeowners will have the opportunity in February.
Yes.
And so here you have a handful of people who have decided that you cannot socialize in the front yard. And I guess the incident that they're all upset about is that a guest greeted a neighbor.
Yeah, but see, that is what happens. If these boards get so-called advice from specialized attorneys, these attorneys are telling them, hey, that's what you can do. There's nobody who will challenge you, really. They have to sue you, so do whatever you want. I have a letter here in my office stating from an attorney, even a well-known attorney firm, saying, sorry, to a letter to a board advising them on the questions they had, sorry, you can't do what you intend to do legally, but we can show you a way how to circumvent the law. That as an advice letter from an attorney firm.
Sounds wonderful. And they call this swapping spit. What the hell does that mean? And that's what it says in the article, folks. I'm not kidding you. They're accusing this 89-year-old gentleman of swapping spit in front of his house. Oh, so you want to put a stop to that?
Yes, because we feel that if I buy today a home or a condominium, I need the guarantee that I can use this same home or condominium in 5 years as well for the same purpose I bought it for, and not because some people in my neighborhood suddenly decided that's not what they like and they change it. There have to be vested rights, vested property rights, which guarantee that I have the right to use it the way I intended to use it when I bought it. I mean, otherwise, I'm much better protected if I rent the property only, because then I'm protected by federal government and everybody.
That's right. You can't be abused, harassed, and discriminated against.
No, if they would do to a renter what they do to homeowners, they would have every federal court on their butt, you believe it or not.
But then the homeowners who bought into this agreed to this, right?
Yes, but if you see all these cases, this is only a one-way street. You hear it from the board, you hear it from the attorney. That is what you bought in for. Mm-hmm. But if it comes to obeying by these deed restrictions, suddenly the attorney and the board members are the ones who feel they are not obligated to follow these laws, these contracts they signed.
So that's why you want to have some kind of adult supervision, some kind of oversight.
Yes, you do need it. I mean, I'm sorry. Many of them prove that they are not adults. So you need somebody to slap their fingers.
Okay, so you're talking about creating an entire, what, agency?
What? Entire agency? Call it whatever you want it. I'm open to any kind of suggestion. But we need some agency, some government agency, which has the power to enforce the statutes, which is there to mediate problems, to discuss these problems without creating huge attorney's fees. We have associations here in Florida where 70% of the annual budget goes for management and attorney's fees. There's very little left to maintain the common property.
70%. So basically what you have is an association just to maintain it, right?
Yeah.
It's of no... What you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is it's really of no benefit to the homeowner.
No, it is. You know, what I always say is the idea actually was very good, but so was the idea of communism. It all looks great on paper.
It's not working.
But it isn't working if human beings get involved, if greed gets involved, and if power hunger gets involved. And that is what we're facing here in associations left and right. And it's not a few disgruntled homeowners like the industry always claims. You should have seen the meeting of the condo committee down in Davie. More than 400 people were there. That meeting wasn't advertised in the local paper or anything. And these 400 people booed out the senior partner of a very famous Florida law firm who abandoned his speech and left.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
They weren't going to put up with it, huh?
No, because he told them everything is fine and dandy and we're doing everything to make you happy. Obviously, more than 400 people were very unhappy.
So everything was a lie, huh?
Yes, and everybody got a good laugh out of it.
So tell me, we're kind of running out of time and we're going to wrap this up in just a minute, but the stories, you've had how many meetings are you going to hold? How many meetings is the HOA task force going to hold?
We have two more, one next Friday in St. Augustine, and then on the 28th in Tallahassee. That will be the final meeting, because we are supposed to come up with solutions before the start of the next legislative session.
And how many have you had?
We had four so far.
So a total of six?
Yes.
And the condo hearings, how many have they had? They've had more than six, right?
I think they had as well five or six.
Okay.
I can't really tell you, because they had two meetings in Tallahassee where they more or less discussed issues which were not really advertised with public input, and they're discussing having one more meeting.
And so all of these stories, are they being kept someplace?
Oh, yes. They're all public record, and I keep all these stories and all the issues on our webpage. You can read it all day long.
So you can go to your webpage and you can hear about all of the stories that people have come in and testified.
Yes, and I have a lot of these stories even as presentations directly on the website.
Okay. So
you know, when I got people, they brought written presentations, you know, supporting their speech,
mm-hmm.
and I added them to the webpages.
And you can get that at
CCF. Right, and I have documents, I have judgments, I have all kinds of stuff there.
Okay, and that's ccfj.net. Jan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun talking to you again, Shu.
It's always fun having you here, and thanks for all the work you do. I know you put a lot of hours into this. and I appreciate it on behalf of homeowners across the country. And for all of you, thanks for hanging out with us on the Commons today. Please join us every Saturday, same time, same place. So we'll see you all next week, and have a very happy new year. Thank you.